took my folder when he went and spoke. He didn't want a long sermon this morning, I don't think. So his is identical to mine. So anyhow, I believe all of us today need to have a greater appreciation for the cross upon which our Lord died. I think we need a greater appreciation of what happened there long ago on that old rugged cross and the impact I believe that that cross ought to have on our lives. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that the level of our spiritual maturity is reflected at least to some degree in the way and in the manner in which we view people of other races, of other cultures, of other social classes of people. There's just no doubt in my mind that this is a subject that we all need to hear today. It's something that we need to observe. I think all of us would say that we're living in times that are extremely challenging. We've all witnessed through social media and on television the rioting and the massive destruction of property, the looting in various cities in our great country. Now, all this was seemingly triggered by the murder of a man named George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer who's now been rightfully charged with murder. The feelings and the emotions of hatred and racism were already at a breaking point, and this particular event just seemed to open up the floodgates. Certainly, people have the right to protest. There's absolutely nothing wrong with peaceful protesting. In fact, much good has been accomplished when people band together and peacefully protest something. And I want to say that I am for protesting, but let's also understand that there's a difference between protesting and a riot. Rioting and looting and the destruction of property have never accomplished anything positive. And to me, what's very sad is when a peaceful protest is turned into a riot by a few who just want to take advantage of the situation. So it's wrong to destroy property and to vandalize, to loot, to attack those in authority. Now, if you're like me, I was stunned by what I saw a few days ago on video of the officer with his knee on the neck of George Floyd, a black man. It was a tragedy in every respect, and justice must be done. But you know, the actions of rioting and looting do not honor George Floyd at all. But hopefully it's going to make us all aware of the problems that exist. I know personally it has had a profound impact in my life and in my thinking. I say all this to say thus far that we need to realize that racism is still a problem. In fact, I would consider it a great problem today. And I don't think that's ever been more evident than what we've been witnessing over the last few days. Racism has always existed. In fact, it will always exist until time is no more. Racism is a sin. It is an ungodly attitude that will cause countless souls to be lost eternally. Now, I believe that I've done a fairly good job in raising my children to be colorblind. And I think that same statement could be made by most parents, if not all parents, here at Del Rayda. You know, I always told my children as they were growing up, I don't care who you marry. I had one stipulation, though. You've got to marry a faithful Christian. I really didn't care if who they married were fans of a different football team than what I pulled for. But I want you to marry a faithful Christian. And I think all of us need to have the goal as far as how we view other people, we need to be colorblind. We as parents and grandparents have a responsibility to raise our children to be colorblind as far as how we view other people. And so racism and hatred is a problem in our world. It can be a problem in the Lord's church. And, you know, what's the solution to this? In our lesson this morning, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. And I want us to discover what I believe is the one and only solution to this particular problem. And I'm going to make some comments as we go through this lesson that I believe pertains to our current situation. If you look at Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 11, Paul says here, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity," or the hostility, "even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make it himself of two, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the hostility," the enmity thereby. "And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were near." I want us to carefully look at this passage for a few minutes this morning. I want to first of all point out the sad and the pathetic plight and condition of the Gentile world before Jesus Christ came and lived and died on Calvary's cross. Now, the text we just read describes the Gentiles as being uncircumcision. They were individuals that were not included in the Lord's covenant. In fact, in Colossians 2 and verse 1, we read that the circumcision the Jews had was one that was made by hands. It was simply an outward sign that they had received the covenant. You know, and these Jews were extremely proud. They were very arrogant of the fact that they had received this particular covenant. And they just tended to look down their noses at everybody else, but especially toward those that were Gentiles. In fact, they resented the Gentiles in a terrible way. The Jews seemed to have the idea that God had made the Gentiles simply as firewood for hell. They had the idea that the Jews were the only ones of all people that God really loved. In fact, if a Jew married a Gentile, the funeral for a Jew was carried out. It was equivalent to death itself. A Jew was forbidden to even aid a Gentile woman in childbirth, because after all, you would be aiding in bringing another Gentile into this world. And for a Jew to even enter the house of a Gentile would make that Jew ceremonially unclean. And you'll recall in Acts chapter 11 and verse 3 that this was the charge that was leveled against Peter when he went to preach to Cornelius, and Cornelius was converted. They said in Acts 11 and verse 3, "You went, Peter, into men uncircumcised and did eat with them." And so there was an awful and terrible resentment of the Jews toward the Gentiles. You know, people, I'm afraid, have that same kind of resentment toward others as well. I think people feel that same kind of resentment from other people. And that's why we need to try to view things from the perspective of the other person. We need to try to walk in their shoes, if you please. We need to practice the golden rule as Jesus taught and try to see things from the other person's vantage point. But notice here, the text points out that these Gentiles were without Christ. They were without a knowledge of Christ. In Galatians 3 and verse 21, we see that Christ was born of the seed of Abraham, and therefore the Gentiles had no real connection, no interest in him, no real blessings from him. And the Bible says these Gentiles were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were cut off from the privileges and the fellowship of God's people. Now, it's certainly true that the Jews had a process by which Gentiles could be proselyted into the Jewish religion, but it was a very slow process. And even when that was accomplished, there was still this sense of alienation. The Bible goes on to say these Gentiles were strangers from the covenant of promise. And you recall in Genesis 17, verse 10, that this covenant was made with Abraham. It was made between him and his seed. And that covenant did not include the Gentiles. And this text also says in Ephesians chapter 2 that these Gentiles were people who had no hope. They were without hope in this world. Not only were they without the hope that Israel enjoyed, the Bible says they had no hope whatsoever. Can you imagine what it would be like to be alive and yet have no hope? They had no real prospect for the future. All they had to look forward to was the affliction, the grief, the sorrow that life might bring them. And the Bible says these Gentiles were without God in this world. Now, that doesn't mean that they refused to believe in God. It doesn't mean they were abandoned by God. It does not mean that they were necessarily ungodly in their conduct, but they were without a knowledge of God in their lives. In addition to their sad plight, then there was the extreme hatred and animosity the Jews had toward them. And so I think there's some things here that we can compare between our situation in 2020 and what existed between the Jews and the Gentiles long ago. But I want to point out to you that the hostility, the enmity, was slain at the cross. And that's why in the next place I want to point out to you that when Jesus Christ came, when he died on the cross, when that old law was abolished, the hostility was also slain. If you look at verse 14 of our text, it says, "For he, Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one." Who's both there? Jew and Gentile. They have been made one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the hostility, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You know, there'd always been this dividing wall, this middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. There had been this barrier, this dividing wall between these two groups of people. In the city of Jerusalem, between the temple proper and the court of the Gentiles, there was a stone wall. And Josephus, the great historian of that time, said that there was inscribed on that wall the statement that any stranger who went beyond this point would go there under pain of death. And you'll recall in Acts 21 and verse 28, when Paul was arrested, that he was condemned to die because of the false charge that he had taken Trophimus, an Ephesian, beyond that point. But when that old law was removed, then the source, the cause of the hostility was destroyed. That old law had the effect of imposing barriers between people. And now, through Christ, that barrier has been removed. The law was just a shadow of good things to come. And so when Christ came and when he died on the cross, we need to realize that that wall of partition, that means of separation, ceased to exist. Now, in the next place, I want to point out that not only was the source of the hostility destroyed when Jesus came and died on the cross, but when Jesus came, he was the bringer of peace. Where there was once hostility, now there is peace. Ephesians 2 and verse 14 says, "For he is our peace." And you notice in the Bible how Jesus is described in this fashion. In Ephesians 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And came and preached peace to you who were afar off." You recall in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, when Isaiah described the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said his name, among other things, would be Prince of Peace. Zechariah 9 and verse 10 says, "He shall preach peace unto the Gentiles." In Luke 2 and verse 14, when the angels were singing and rejoicing at the birth of our Lord, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." You see, when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, the hostility had been removed and destroyed. And now Jesus Christ is come as the bringer of peace. In Romans 10 and verse 15, the Bible says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." Now, brethren, somehow, some way, we've got to develop an even greater appreciation for the cross on which our Lord died. When Jesus Christ died, hostility among racial groups and social groups had to be destroyed. And now there ought not be any hostility because Christ is our peace. And then let me quickly point out today that salvation for the Jew and the Gentile came through the cross. Not only did Jesus bring peace, but we need to understand that salvation for everyone alike came through the cross. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ." In verse 16, the Bible says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the hostility thereby. You see, it's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross that even the Jews could have forgiveness of their sins. And for that reason, Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." But as I close today, I want to make a few practical suggestions and applications about how the hostility was slain at the cross and how that needs to apply to us today. Obviously, in the context that we've looked at, the great hostility was between Jew and Gentile. But even today, we have a great problem with hostility, even among Gentiles. But you know, when we begin to somehow greater appreciate the cross, I want to suggest to you that those racial barriers will cease to exist. I believe all of us today would agree that there's a lot of animosity between people of different races and religions in our world. We see that overseas in the Middle East when people are in constant conflict because of skin color, because of religious convictions that people hold. It's a problem throughout our world today. Now, I'm going to try to be as honest and as forthright as I possibly can for the next few minutes. I hope you'll listen carefully. When I saw the video of George Floyd being murdered, I couldn't really tell you how I felt. I know it tugged at my heartstrings. It began to allow me maybe to view racism from a different perspective. When I saw that video, I felt shock, anger, hurt. I felt the realization that, you know, maybe I need to be doing more than what I'm currently doing now. You know, I've always preached and taught on the sin of racism many times from the Word of God. But I began to think that, you know, maybe I need to do more. You see, racism is not a political issue. It's a moral issue which has simply been politicized, just like abortion. It's a moral issue that has been politicized. And I believe it's about time that we as Christians speak out more against racism in our culture and in our society because it's wrong and sinful. I think we need to be more understanding about racism. We need to be more understanding and open to the impact that racism has on individual lives and on families. Personally, I've never lived in fear and worry and anxiety when I've done nothing wrong. But many people live with that kind of fear and anxiety every day because of race. I've never felt like I maybe had to drop my eyes and lower my head to avoid contact with someone of another race because I feel some kind of repercussion. I've never had to fear for my safety when I go out at night because of my race. I've never been called names that are demeaning and insulting because of the color of my skin. I've never been profiled because of my race by a police officer or someone else in authority. I, as a parent, never had to worry about my children as they were older, going out at night and engaging in activities that young people do for fun from time to time. I never had to worry if they were going to be safe because of their race. I've never had to worry about my grandchildren, and I probably won't have to worry about how they're going to be treated because of race. But people, that's a reality. for a lot of folks in our culture today. You know, it breaks my heart when I think about the cruelty, the inhumane treatment, the violence, the injustices that have transpired over the last few decades, even longer, toward those who are black. It's mind-blowing to think about the tragedies that have taken place in over the last 50 plus years alone in the black community. The hatred, the segregation, the murder, the violence, the intimidation, just because of race. I've always been a great admirer of the civil rights movement. I believe that that's one of the greatest movements in the history of our world. But the civil rights movement should have never happened, because it shouldn't have had to happen. People needed long ago to see every other human being as equal to them. I look back at history. I've seen the photos. I'm aware of the Equal Justice Initiative here in Montgomery. I can't imagine what it was like for a member of the black race to live a few decades ago, when lynching would take place, when great injustices would transpire just simply because one race hated another race. That kind of thing has to end. So what should be our reaction? What should be my reaction? What should be your reaction to this? Well, my reaction is I'm going to try to speak out more when I see it. I'm going to try to talk more openly about it to other people rather than just remaining kind of hush-hush about it. And what I want to do is I want to challenge everybody who's listening today to have the courage at work, among friends, among family members, or whenever the opportunity provides itself. We need to talk about how wrong racism is. And I believe we can truly let our light shine. God can be glorified because of it if we'll just step up individually. Then we're going to see a change collectively on our culture and our society. But you see, it has to start with me. It has to start with you. We need to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And if we will begin to react to this the way we ought to as we go about our everyday affairs, that's going to have an impact on many other lives as well. Now, let us not forget that regardless of what has happened in the past or what may happen in the future, we need to remember that justice will be done throughout the land by the hand of our great God. I think about all the injustices of the past that have gone unpunished. They may be just swept under the rug. One day, those injustices are going to be made right, as every person who's ever lived will stand before God on the day of judgment and give an account of his life before the Creator. A day of reckoning is coming. But right now, on this earth, the only cure for racism, folks, the only way to solve this problem is in and through Jesus Christ while being in his body, the church. Because you see, the cross will do away with all that. You know, I think back to the Jews and the resentment they had toward the Samaritans and how that was so keen that an Orthodox faithful Jew wouldn't even walk through the city of Samaria. They would go miles out of their way to avoid walking through Samaria. But I'm thankful the Bible says about Jesus in John 4 and verse 4 that he must needs go through Samaria. In Acts 8 and verse 5, Philip went down to Samaria, and it took a miracle to convict the Jews that the Gentiles were worthy to receive the gospel. In Acts 10 and verse 28, it took a miracle to get Peter, a Jew, to see that he ought never to call any man common or unclean. And when Peter finally got to the household of Cornelius, he uttered those words of Acts 10, verse 34, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." God shows no partiality, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And I would to God today that every one of us could accept that statement and believe it. If we're going to be like God, we have to show no partiality toward others. But in every nation, we need to realize that regardless of race, regardless of other things that separate people, we need to understand in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. You know, God sees people differently from us today. That's made clear in the Old Testament when Israel was going to have a second king selected. Samuel made the statement, God does not see as man sees. You see, man naturally looks on the outside. That's our natural inclination. We have to fight that. We need to see things as God sees. God looks on the character. God looks on the heart of the individual. And that's exactly what we need to do if we want to be like God. But I also want to suggest quickly that the cross will eliminate and resolve the hostility not only between races, but social classes as well. We know today that some people tend to look down their noses at other people because they're not quite as advanced socially. The Bible says in Proverbs 6 and verse 17 that God hates a proud look. That's why the Bible says that the common people heard our Lord gladly, Mark 12 and verse 37. When we come to really appreciate the cross, the hostility that exists between different social classes, that'll cease to exist as well. And then I think about those financial barriers that are so prevalent today. You know, James talked about this idea in James 2 and 1, verses 1 through 4, where the idea of showing partiality toward the rich because of their wealth and disdaining the poor is strictly forbidden. And yet sometimes do we not tend to pay more attention to that individual because of his social status, because of how he's dressed, because of his wealth? Do we not sometimes tend to just ignore that person who obviously is poor? Maybe they're a little bit different from what we are. Should we not heed the warning that's given in James 2 and verse 5? Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that loved him? And I say that when we appreciate the cross, those differences in a financial way that exist so obviously will make no difference in this world. But I want to close out today by simply admonishing you with the idea that all this takes place, all of it, the animosity disappears. The hostility goes away in the one body, the church. The hostility is destroyed in the church. Now, people can make all kinds of laws, and those are good laws to try to help racism and try to appease different things that are going on. There's a lot of conferences that take place. There may be congressional meetings that transpire, but the only real solution to this problem, according to the Bible, is in the one body because of the cross. Ephesians 2 and verse 16 says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the hostility thereby. Now the body is the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. The saved are added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Yes, individuals are reconciled to God, and they're reconciled to one another in that one body, the church of our Lord. Those racial barriers, those social barriers, those financial barriers that exist today must and should cease to exist among God's people who are Christians. That's why Paul said in Galatians 3 and verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. May all of us come to have a greater appreciation for that old rugged cross. And as we reach maturity in the cross, all the enmity, all the hatred is broken down. And as you look at your own life, as you look in the mirror and as you examine your own heart today, if such exists in your life, you probably don't have the kind of appreciation for the cross that you need to have. Maybe there's some changes that you need to make in your life. Maybe there's some attitudes that you need to work on, to improve on. None of us are perfect. All of us fall short. All of us have work to do, especially in regard to this point of racism and treating others equally, because it's just our nature to be that way. We've got to become like God and have the heart and mind of God in order to see one another as truly being equal as God has made us. I cannot stop today, though, without mentioning the importance of being saved, the importance of how much God has done to provide for our salvation. You can know the joy of salvation today if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you're willing to change your life, repent, change your heart, change your life, confess that He is the Son of God, be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, the Lord will add you to His church. Thank you so much this morning for listening.